Thanks for downloading the Wave Church Podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
Well, first off, I do want to thank Pastor Sharon for this amazing opportunity. It is an honor and a privilege. Thank you. Love you. Love Sharon. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence here. And right now, I just ask that your word would go forth and it will not return void. Father, I ask that you would help me to speak your word, not my words, but your words, because they bring life, they bring hope, they bring strength, they bring peace, no matter the season in life that we face. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So, a few years back, my husband and I started introducing this new chore to my boys of stacking the dishwasher. I have three boys, and they were supposed to learn how to stack the dishwasher. And it was awful. Awful. And every single time, I wanted to step in and just do it myself. Get out of the way. You're doing it wrong. You're taking too long. You're lazy. You don't want to do it anyways. Just get out of the way and I'll do it myself. And my husband, every time, no, let them do it. They've got to learn how to do it for themselves. It doesn't matter what the dishwasher looks like. It doesn't matter that they've put plates at the top instead of plates on the bottom. Who does that? Boys. Boys do that. He would stop me every single time. Just let them do it. And it drove me crazy. Because the hard part was not just that they took forever, which they did. They took forever. Every dish was like. And I'm one that is, I'm a rinser. I'm a rinser when it comes to the dishes before putting them in the dishwasher. That's from growing up without a dishwasher when I was younger. And so you learned you had to wash the dishes. And that drove, they're like, why are we washing the dishes before we put them in the dishwasher? But the hard part was that they didn't do it my way. Because my way was the right way. Because it is more efficient. I do it correctly. Do it my way. But I had to let them just go for it. Whatever. And I was impatient. I wanted to take matters into my own hands. I didn't like waiting. So this morning, the title of my message is The Waiting Room. And funnily enough, just yesterday, I spent a portion of my morning in the waiting room at the dentist office for my kids, you know, semi-annual checkup, and it was awful. They don't know how to wait in a waiting room. My oldest was like, please, can I get my phone out of the car? I need something to do. I'm so bored. I'm like, just sit. You're about to get called back like any minute, any minute. No, it's going to take forever. It was like 20 minutes. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but they didn't know how to wait. They were all just anxious. They couldn't sit still in the waiting room. And it made me think, how do we act when we are waiting on God? Can we wait patiently in the waiting room, or are we, give me something to do. I can't stand this. I can't. I'm so bored. Give me something. Because there is always a wait time. From the moment that we offer that first prayer to seeing that come through, to seeing the breakthrough, there is always a wait time. Now, I am mindful that there are many women in this room that have been believing for things for years, believing for miracles, just like this new series that Pastor Steve has started, believing for loved ones, believing for breakthroughs in finances, breakthroughs in health. And you are still believing to this day. And I want to start off with this reminder. Never give up on God's promises and believing God's word for your life. God is faithful to his word. He is bound to it. It will never return void. Never give up on God's promises. Keep believing. But we all have areas where we need God to move on our behalf. We have areas that we are still waiting on God to come through, where we haven't gotten to the other side yet, and our prayers have not quite been answered yet. Psalm 27, this is my verse for this morning, verse 13 and 14, and it says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is that ability to quiet your heart in the middle of unsettling and uncertain circumstances and to put your hope in God, knowing that he is faithful to his word. But it is tough. It is hard to just wait instead of doing what we all want to do, which is just take matters into my own hands. You know, we can often think, well, I'm not really sure if God is listening right now. I don't know if he really sees what's going on in my life. I mean, he's a pretty busy guy. He's got the whole world. So maybe instead of actually waiting, maybe I'm just not really sure that he'll actually hear my prayer. Maybe instead of just waiting, I'll just take care of it myself. And that's what we do. We take a matter, we take that situation, we take it out of God's hands, and we put it in our own. Sometimes we give God a deadline. God, I'll give you till then, till this time. And if you haven't come through, if you haven't opened a door, it's okay. I'll just open one myself. I'll crack open a window or go through a back door of some kind. But honestly, do we think that we can do a better job with that situation than what God can do? He's already asked us to turn it over, to cast our cares on him. Because waiting on the Lord is not always easy, as you know, because I mean, how long does he take sometimes? We all know that God is never early and he's never late. He's right on time. But how come that right on time always seems to be that 11th hour where you're like, please? His time frame is not ours. We all know his time frame is not ours. But not only that, he doesn't even operate the same way that we do. He says, you know, we thought, God, I'm believing that you're going to do this, you're going to come through like this, but you came through like that. Like, that's not exactly how I would do it if I were in charge. You know, we've all heard stories where there have been disappointments along the way. We've all encountered disappointments. And many times, that's not the end of the story. Because I've heard many times where that big disappointment turned out to be the biggest save. Because God had another plan. Oh, I'm so thankful. In the moment, I was so disappointed. I couldn't believe that didn't turn out the way that I thought. But, oh, wow, in the end, when we got through it, we had to wait a little bit longer, but oh man, it was so worth it. Holy cow, what a big save. So glad it didn't go down that road. So why? Why is it so hard to wait on the Lord? And to me, it's simple. Simply comes down to control. We want control. It is ingrained in us, in our own human nature, that we want control over our own lives and our own situations. We want control. But control's a funny thing, because the moment that you think you have control is the moment you realize, I really never did have control. There is actually very little that we have control over. And I think we as women experience this the most. You become acutely aware of how little control you have when you have that first miscarriage. And there is nothing you can do about it. When your child ends up in the ER because of sickness or an accident, and you have no control, you can't fix it, you can't pretend like it didn't happen. Or when you feel a lump in your body and you have to go to get an ultrasound and you suddenly remember, I have no control over this. And our only response in those moments is, God, I got nothing. I got nothing. I got nothing up my sleeve. I got nothing that I can use. I trust you. God, I trust you. But we think that when it comes to these areas where we can control, because there are areas that we can control in our lives, but we hold on to those so tightly. Oh, I can control this, so it's mine. We tell God, God, I give you this, and I give you this, because honestly, I can't control those anyway, so they're yours. But this area, I think I got a good handle on this. You know, I'm okay with this. I can hold on to this. That's okay. And we hoard our controlling areas. I got this covered. We want so desperately to control those areas so that we don't feel out of control in those areas that we can't control. Does that make sense? It drives us crazy that we can't control the areas that we can control. Now, I'm not saying that we're all a bunch of control freaks, although there are some in this room. Don't look around. You know who you are, the control freaks. It's okay. But having control takes the fun out of the journey of life. You know, I found this meme, and hopefully the media team can put it up so you can see it. I just thought this was a very funny little meme. It says, as long as everything is exactly the way I want it, I am totally flexible. I thought, wow, I feel like they just kind of read my mail there. These memes crack me up because they are so true, so true. But there is great flexibility in God's unchanging purpose. There is great flexibility in that. You know, so we all know Psalm 92, it says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Palm trees are designed to bend. They're designed to be flexible. I have a heap of them in my front yard. They are tall and they are long and they do this. They literally, like, I got a couple that are just like permanently bent because they give. What are you rigid on that God is asking you to be flexible? You know, for me, when I started having babies when I was younger, and I wanted to control as much as I could because I knew there would come a time when I couldn't control anything as they got older. because then they start doing strange, bizarre things like making really bad decisions. My teenage boys, technically I have one, but he's kind of a tween, so I feel like I have two. They make such, your decision making is not great. And I can't control that. Unless, ladies, you can tell me how to control their decision makings. That'd be great. But instead of waiting on God, many times we just want to rush in so we can take control. And all the while, God is saying, let me handle it. Because what do we do once we have taken something out of God's hands and we put it in our own? What do? We worry about it, we stress over it, we question it, and we just make all the wrong mistakes. Don't be in a rush. A little side note. Don't be in a rush to get through the waiting room, to get through that waiting season, because it is just a season. We can be anxious in the middle of it. But each season has a purpose. We can so easily miss that purpose and the good in every season when we try and just, I just want to get through it. I'm just trying to rush. Let me get past it. Even the tough seasons, I want those to have a purpose. Or what was the point? I remember when they were little, I just wanted them to be older. Okay, good. I'm not the only one, because I hit phases when they were little, when they were in that infant stage. It was hard. It was hard for me because there was so much demand. There was so much dependence, and it took a toll on, not just my body, but my emotions and my hormones and my feelings, and it was just all consuming. And I was like, I just can't wait for you to feed yourself. So I don't have to feed you. I can't wait for you to put your clothes on by yourself. I just want you to be able to tie your shoes. I wanted to hurry, but just get a little older so you can be just a little bit more independent. And it wasn't until my third and my last that I actually slowed down and was like, oh, these seasons don't last forever, and you don't get those back. Take your time. We have to learn endurance in the middle of each and every season, even if the season is a waiting room. God doesn't want us to wait on him because he wants to waste our time. He's not trying to torture us or dangle a carrot over us. He's trying to build something in us that can only happen in the waiting room. There are aspects to our Christian walk that only comes in the waiting. The waiting is for our good. We have to develop perseverance. We have to develop endurance and patience. Patience. And those only come in the waiting. But God is always, always at work in the wait. Romans 8:28, we all know it. We know that in all things, God works good for those who love him. He is always at work. And the book of Psalms is just full of verses on waiting on the Lord. I want to read a passage for you this morning. And it says, it comes from Psalm 106, and I'm going to read a little chunk. It's verse 6 through 15. And it says, we have sinned, even as our ancestors did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly. When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Wow, this is an encouraging verse. We're going somewhere. We're going to get there. It says, yet he saved them for his name's sake, to make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe, from the hand of the enemy, he redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived. Then they believed his promises and sang his praise. Then verse 13, but they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. In the desert, they gave in to their cravings. They took matters into their own hands. In the wilderness, they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease among them. They did not wait for God's plan to unfold. They forgot what the Lord had done. They started off good. They started off believing God's promises. They sang his praise. And isn't that where we all start off? I believe you, Lord. I believe your promises. Yes. And we start off singing. There's no shadow you can't light up. Mountain you can't climb up. But over time, we grow weary in the wait. We lose sight of what we were singing about. Now we stopped singing altogether. Now we're just going through motions. I don't know. What was I saying? What were we? Some shadows and mountains and something. Just long enough to forget. Don't grow weary in the wait. God does some of his best work in that waiting room. And then God gave them what they asked for. Not what he intended, all because they wouldn't wait on the Lord. And this isn't the last time that the Israelites do this. They insisted on having a king to rule over them, and God never intended the Israelites to have a king. He wanted to be their king. He was the king of kings. I am your king. And they're like, no. We want someone in the flesh. We want a king. We don't want to wait on you. And God was, all right, I'll give you Saul. Not his first choice. I want God's best for my life, not the best that I can come up with. If God gave us everything that we asked for, we would end up like little children with no ability to do anything for ourselves. And yeah, my phone's ringing. Sorry. I didn't realize I forgot to. It's on my watch, too. I can feel it buzzing and beeping. I'm like, darn Apple Watch. Okay, I have to tell you, this is why my husband gave me an Apple Watch. So he could literally attach my phone to my body because I don't answer my phone or return my text. Because every time he calls or texts me, I'm like in the bathroom or in a shower or something. I'm like, I don't have my phone on me all the time. He does. I do not have my phone on me. So he's like, here, I'm going to give you an Apple Watch. Now it's attached to your body. And I still don't answer it. I still don't. It's really bad. Side note. Anyways, reel it in, Lydia. You know, feeding a child and changing a diaper, it's one thing if you're a newborn. It's a little weird when you're 40. But this is how we should wait. I want to show you this verse. Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6 says, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. You know, when I read this, I thought, I'm sorry, is there a typo? Did they really say the same thing twice? Like back to back? Is that a typo? It is not a typo. The psalmist actually says the same thing twice. Just in case you didn't catch it the first time, I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. You see, there were men that would stand on the city gate or stand on the city wall, and they would have the night watch. They would watch all night on the city wall and waiting for that first sign of dawn, that first beam of light. And then they would get off duty and they could go to sleep. They could be done with their duty. They were eagerly, earnestly, I am on the edge of my seat, waiting on the Lord. Can we wait on God like that? So I just want to give you just a few keys. Keys to waiting on the Lord. And the first one is very simply, trust is everything. It's everything. We will never choose to wait on the Lord unless we can honestly, wholeheartedly, and completely trust in Him. Give God the right to direct your life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is my backbone of trust in the Lord. Every time I think of trust in the Lord, I always go back to this. And I know Joe just mentioned this on Sunday, but I had it in my notes long before Joe did. If you didn't hear Joe's message Sunday night, you need to hear that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. We all know it. Psalm 37, verse 1 through 8. Do not fret because those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, and they will sometimes do. When they carry out their wicked schemes, refrain from anger, turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. You see, God won't ever force His will on you. We know this. He makes that very clear. We have to choose to trust Him. And we can be hesitant. We can be reluctant to trust in each other because we've been burned before. But maybe we can even feel like God has let us down because our plans didn't quite turn out the way that we thought that they would. And we can even be reluctant to trust God again. And if we aren't willing to trust Him, that is when we spend our lives in anxiety and in fear, doubt, and turmoil. And no one lived a better life by putting up their guard and refusing to trust Him. Trusting in Him is the only way we could ever wait on God. Can you ultimately forsake your own individuality to trust in God? Can you set aside your right to control in order to trust Him? Number two is waiting is not a sign of weakness or indecision. Waiting is a sign of strength and endurance. Psalm 27, 14, and we read this earlier. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. You see, we take on His strength when we choose to wait on Him. Strength in the Lord resides in your ability to just be and wait. Be still and know. This is the true test of our rest and our contentment. Be still. He tells us, be fruitful. Be strong. Be courageous. Until we can be, we cannot move on into the fullness of God. We fail to be because we're caught up in the ifs. If only. There's always an excuse. We've all found excuses. Have you become comfortable saying, if only, in the areas of your life instead of just waiting? And number three, don't lose hope. Isaiah 40, I'm going to read a little passage here. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even the youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait, those who hope in the Lord, will renew their strength. We know it. They will soar like eagles. Soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint. Always remember that God is in control, and your future is always better in God's hands than taking it into your own. Keep praying. Keep believing. Never stop bringing your hopes and your dreams and desires before him, and refuse to give up on what God has said already in his word. You know, I've been a part of Create for a long time. I've been in Create for 19 years. So pretty soon after we first came to church, I started serving. But I didn't always serve in the capacity that I do now. There were many years of waiting. There was probably 14 years of waiting to be able to do what I do now in church and leading worship. And I could have thrown in the towel years ago. I could have decided, I'm just going to take matters in my own hands. I'm going to do whatever I want. But instead, my only real choice was, God, I trust you. I trust you with this. I trust you with my heart, and not follow after what my own feelings want to do. Disregard my feelings. Those don't mean anything. What do I trust? Who do I trust? And you know, and it took a long time because I couldn't see the reason for the wait. Why? Why are we waiting so long for this desire that I have, but why? And I didn't see it in the time. Well, I saw it now, but I didn't see it in the middle of it. And many times we don't see the reason for the wait, but there's always a reason. There's always a purpose for our wait. Sometimes we'll never understand the reason for the wait. And we've got to be okay with that too, but there is always purpose behind the waiting room. God never wastes our time in the waiting room. He doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste our tears. He doesn't waste our time. God's heart is to always build his strength, his character, and his heart into us. And he will take whatever measures necessary to make that happen. Life is not easy, but he promises one thing. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We can take that to the bank, because that will never change. So this morning, I just want to ask you, I'm so glad Hummel's up here. Thank you, Hummel. I know in this room, there's most of us in this room have encountered Jesus before. Most are Christians, and we've asked Jesus into our hearts before. We have a relationship with Jesus, or at least at one time we have. But I want to ask everyone, what is your relationship with Jesus right now? Not what it was a few years ago, maybe even 20 years ago. What is your relationship with Jesus today? And maybe you feel like there's some distance between you and him. But you're the only one that can answer that. No one can answer that for you. No one knows your heart like you do. And maybe if you were truly honest with yourself, you might say, it's not what it used to be. It's not what it should be. I feel like there's more. I want to give you the opportunity today. Let's make it right. Let's get it right. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you, do you need a fresh start? Maybe that distance that's between you and the Lord isn't really a distance at all, because the word says that he stands at the door. He's right behind the door. He's just on the other side of the door, and he knocks. He's standing at the door, and he's knocking. So if that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand just long enough and high enough for me to see it. And then you can put it down. But if you know that you know my relationship with Jesus isn't the best, it's not what it should be, and I need to get it right today. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand, and we're all going to pray together, because there's no better day than today to make your relationship right with Jesus. There's no better time. It's not worth going through life feeling the distance when there doesn't have to be, because he's at the door. He won't open the door from the outside. You've got to let him in. You've got to let him in. So if that's you this morning, I'm just going to give you just a few more seconds. If you know that today's your day, I've got to make it right. And we're all going to pray together. Awesome. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on, ladies, let's pray this together. Out loud, let's say, "Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. And I ask you now to come into my heart and to change me from the inside out. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and you are my Savior, and I will never turn from you again. In Jesus' name, amen." Come on, ladies. There's one more thing I want to do real quick before we go. And if you feel like, I mean, we're all in the waiting room. We're all believing for things in our own life. So, if everyone would lift their hands this morning, we're all going to pray. I'm going to pray because we're all in the waiting room. We're all waiting, believing for miracles, believing for loved ones, for healing, for breakthroughs. There's always areas that we're waiting on God. Father, right now, I thank you for every woman in this place. Right now, I just pray that you would help us as we wait on you patiently and wholeheartedly. We trust you as we wait for the breakthrough, knowing that you are faithful to your word. You are faithful to your promises. We speak healing. We speak wholeness. And we hold on to that hope that only you bring. Help us to not be anxious in our waiting room. Help us not to take matters into our own hands, but to cast our cares on you, for you care for us. And we thank you in advance for the breakthrough. We thank you in advance that you do bring life, that you do bring strength, that you do bring peace. And you bring peace in the waiting. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day. We'll be right back.